Greetings, it's the automatically deleted husband, and it's been a while, but guess what? I got a postcard today from, or it was to, Mrs. Dorothy Jane Kozlowski. In yesterday's hearing, I made clear that the $519 and the $1,990 payments were a reminder of you of May 19th, 1990, the day we became one. Romans 7 makes it clear that we are still one. We still are, excuse me. I love you, I love you, I love you, you're a man. You know, because this is the day after this telephone hearing, because I did specifically state, you know, that I made the 519 payments previously and the 1990 payment in early February to remind my wife of May 19th, 1990. And that Romans 7 still applies. Well, I mean, it applies to the follower of Christ, obviously. If you don't follow Christ, then it doesn't apply. But guess what? I got another postcard to Walter. I'm at about 700,000 jumping jacks in the hope of doing number 1 million on Mom's birthday this year on the top of Big Frog Mountain. I've asked George to join me. Would you please, I guess, do the same or something? It's covered over. So, yes, I mean, obviously, this is hate speech, so we don't want to let Walter see that. I mean, you know, can you imagine a young guy getting a postcard from his dad saying he wants to spend some time with him doing an event? I mean, wow, how horrible. Two things. One is I did do some walking today, a little over 11 and a half miles. And the good thing was, when it was done, I had another smoothie, of course, and did more jumping jacks. And I'm feeling okay because, what was it, a week or so ago, I did like 10 miles. And afterwards, I was exhausted. So today I did 11 and a half, and I'm fine, which encourages me because I was... That really concerned me that day that I did the 10, and I was kind of like, gee. But no, I'm fine. So I'm encouraged because, again, on December 8th, I hope to do a 11-mile hike. Except, you know, unlike today where there was a few hills, that 11-mile hike I tend to do is a half mile up. It's kind of like, huh. It takes some effort. And again, the invitation to George, Walter, and Zadok to join me on that day remains. Susanna and Glory Jane are also invited, as is anyone else in my family, especially my wife. Because it is my hope, and you know, I am doing typically 1,024 jumping jacks a day. Today I did 1,280, but you know. Typically at least 1,024. And you can go to kozlowski.org/jumpyjacks, and they're all there. But my route today, I made a special journey. I did the normal thing. I had a particular places to go, and I did the extra 3 miles in order to go get bananas at Publix. You know, makes perfect sense, doesn't it? And I did get kale too, you know. Bananas and kale, just your normal diet. but I left there and I went specifically to a bridge, not over the bridge, but under the bridge, where the Greenway goes under this Paul Huff is the name of the street. But it goes under there because when I was there last time, I noticed some graffiti. And so this time I took a camera in order to take a picture of it. Because I figured quite probably it will be painted over. And it was already painted over, which I think was a good thing. But I wanted to get the evidence, and I can't. I don't have it. The reason I wanted to get the evidence is because what it was Nazi symbols. and not light duty stuff. You know, seeing a swastika is not that uncommon, especially because a swastika has meanings in different cultures for different purposes. You know, in a lot of places in India, it's still a celebrated symbol for a lot of things. There's no offense to it. There's an offense to it when it's exactly how in my N-words video, I described the term nigger, which means black. It's in the Bible, Acts 13, and it means someone who is black in that particular context. It's a common expression even in the black community within the U.S. However, if I say it meaning it with a particular derogatory intent, I'm using words that by themselves are not offensive, but the way I'm using it is. And again, the obvious example, comparative example, is when I say Jesus Christ, I'm talking about my creator. When somebody else says Jesus Christ, they're using it as a swear word. So it's not the words themselves, but the heart behind it. And the same thing is true with the Nazi symbol, or the swastika, excuse me, because when it symbolizes Nazism, it has a particular connotation. There is other particular cases you will find often, as I saw on the bridge. With a swastika, you will see 14 and 88. And it's kind of like, what does this mean? Is it the year 1488? No. The 14 represents 14 words that are part of something. I did look it up. Do I have it here? We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children, the 14 words. So you'll see that frequently. That's why the number 14 is there. And you also see 88. 88, depending upon who is telling you what it means, has a different meaning. In the one case, some are talking about some 88 precepts. Others will say it means the eighth letter of the alphabet twice, HH, Heil Hitler. That's what it's, you know, that's the indication. And apparently in the U.S., we'll see various versions of this painted here, there, and in other places, including under the bridge that is at the Greenway, where the bridge goes over the Greenway for Paul Huff, the Paul Huff Road or Street Avenue, whatever it is, Paul Huff. So it was there, and I can't show you the picture because I assume it's, you know, the city or the county. Wisely, I would say, painted the whole stretch of that, and you know, so it looks nice, pretty, new. Kind of look. I think they did a good job in doing that. But there's a concern because you may recall 2 years ago, I think it was. Maybe it was only a year. At least a year and a half, maybe. I don't know. It was a while back. I met a couple gentlemen on the Greenway, a white man and a black man. 19 and 20, I think, or 18 and 20, something of that nature, young guys. Young guys now. But anyway, and we talked. We had a delightful dialogue for probably about an hour. And I asked him a lot of things. You know, they asked me, and I told them a whole lot of stuff from Scripture. And I asked them about the culture here in town. And, you know, one of the greatest concerns they expressed is the drug use and the demise of the culture within the high school arena within here in Cleveland. But one of the things they said that, yes, we have the drug problems, we have various attitude issues and whatnot. What we do not have here in any pronounced way, according to them, is a strong issue between black and white. I think in Chattanooga, it's a whole lot stronger, at least in places within Chattanooga. Whereas in Cleveland, you know, it's not really much of an issue. But I saw this on the bridge. And of course, again, if you use the 14 words, the future for white children, obviously there's a racist overtone here, isn't it? Very overt. And, you know, there's another group that uses the same thing. Not only the swastika, but also the 1488 on a lot of their stuff. More the 88 than the 14, apparently, from what I've seen. It's the Azov Battalion. Who are Nazis. And a lot of times you will see them, you know, like I saw here, spray paint these things on walls or under bridges and whatnot, or tattoo it on themselves. That's very common. And because it shows your allegiance to the Azov Battalion. I'm part of the group. And I'm showing you I'm part of the group because I've put it, embedded it into my, you know, painted my body to indicate that. And you will see that a bunch. And what concerns me is I didn't walk the Greenway in Kiev. I walked the Greenway in Cleveland. That's a real concern. Because what that was is a hint. And because the city painted over it, I think that was a good thing. But you're covering over something that shows that there's an attitude here. And that concerns me. That concerns me greatly. And I was going to take a photo of it, and I didn't. But I know it's there. And, you know, again, the photo on the wall, my mom. I have the one photo of my mom. She's grinding, you know, an old-fashioned coffee grinder. And on the photo on the wall behind her is a German soldier, because she was working for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And the gentleman behind her in the photo had the armband around his arm with the swastika. Because again, my mom literally was part of the Nazi. You know, there's party membership. I don't know. You know, I don't know if they had formal party membership, her and obviously my grandfather, because again, the photo I have my parents with behind them on the wall, their home, a photo, you know, the flower drape photo of Adolf Hitler. And I can't ask, but I wonder, was it political expedience or was it admiration? And because you can see that now in so many ways domestically. Sometimes there's political expedience and sometimes there's admiration for a variety of things. I wear a face mask for political expedience or because I really think it means something. I have my, you know, Ukrainian flag on my front lawn or, you know, and whatnot because I, political expedience, or because I actually believe it. I think in both cases you were fooled. But anyway, the point is, I don't know. And I can't know just because somebody has that symbol. But it's here in Cleveland, and that concerned me. But one other thing. But let's have a brief interlude here for a moment. My eggs were dropped off today, and I was invited to a morning breakfast meeting, men's meeting, from the church that the guy is at, that, you know, the one church I went to the first time in years. And so perhaps next Friday, I'm going to meet with a bunch of men for breakfast. It may be the first of many times. It may be the first and only time. I'm encouraged. My objective is not to go and stir up the crowd. My objective is to go and find brothers and to mutually encourage. The sum parakaleo, one of my favorite words. And, but, you know, it is obviously become my habit. Something is said, back it up. You know, and because, again, if it is anything like, assuming it's you know, if it's the same flavor of the worship service I went to, and the gentleman said that there's usually a few minutes of something from the Bible and whatnot, and then some other discussion. And if they do some fluff from the Bible, I'm sorry, I'm going to ask questions. If you're going to make a statement from the Bible and it's fluff, or you're going to come from a perspective from the traditions of man rather than what the Bible says, I'm sorry, because of the fact I'm an elder, not an office that I was voted into because I aged into it, because I matured, and because I'm ready to give an answer for the hope that is within me, and that I am called to rebuke, correct, things of that nature. But so much for the interlude. There's been a whole lot more in the news on Nord Stream. You may recall, I did on the 8th, I did the Claro Pipeline is Real. Actually, that was the 9th. I did something else on the 8th, but on the 9th, I did the... And what I did in that voicemail is, you know, Seymour Hersh came out with this article on the 8th. I mentioned it, but I was discussing other things on the 8th. And on the 9th, I went into some details. And in those details, I told you some of the technical things, why what was expressed from Seymour Hersh's article, I gave you the technical reasons why it was done this way. Not because I have some inside information, because it's, you know, it's, again, I have enough understanding of the field to tell you that this is why you did this, that, the other. That caused a stir. Caused a stir more apparently in foreign lands than domestically, because domestic media has basically ignored him. Or when they did mention him, it was a discredited reporter or things of that nature. They had to attack the messenger. Don't dare look at his evidence. Don't reason with what argument he's making. Attack him. And that's what happened. It was insufficient. So now, it was in the UK and somewhere else. Two different articles have come out stating that a group from Ukraine did it. And the arguments, the information that they provide is pathetic. This scenario is just irrational. Again, you look at the evidence that Seymour Hersh gave, the scenario he described, makes sense. Technically, you look at my description on the day afterwards where I described why it was done this way, why the sonar buoys were used in order to communicate, because you couldn't do it with radio waves, and, you know, they didn't have a wireline connection because, you know, that would be kind of obvious. The various things and the amount of explosives you'd need was pretty substantial, again, because this is not a small pipe and, you know, concrete casing and all those kind of things. So you needed, you needed, and I think described at that point, you needed more than a firecracker. So what you have to do is the narrative that Seymour Hersh came out with and all the evidence he gave is just too obvious. This makes sense. We don't want to look at that. So now we have a couple other articles saying, again, somebody in Ukraine, a rogue group, small band of people did this. The information that it's irrational. What they describe just doesn't work. If you're so invested in that narrative, you won't look at that doesn't make sense. You'll say, oh, well, here, we got it. It wasn't the U.S. It's irrational. Again, you look at the evidence of the groups that are saying these are the same groups of people who told you that so many lies, so many other different wars. I won't go through that list. But the point is, you have very uncredible. You have a weak story told by groups that have a really bad reputation for false information. But people will rally around them because it's not the quality of the information. It's not how rational the story it is. But this is the narrative we want to grab onto. And that concerns me. I think this is a big deal. And, you know, this is a big deal. The problem is, I don't play at that stage. You know, I'm not part of the major media. I was in a waiting room today, something I don't do much. I was in the waiting room because I had my eyes examined today to get new glasses. You know, I do have one of the pairs of glasses I've had, which I've had for many years, has a little bit of problem. You know, it used to have an arm on both sides. My wife had a pair of glasses that had the same problem. Well, so do I. And these are the ones that I use on the computer, but they're less effective than they used to be. 10 years ago, I got another pair, these, and they're just not right. So that's why when I walk, especially in the summer, I sweat and I don't, you know, and because I'm not driving, I don't bother. So I've been in the habit of not wearing glasses. But it's become harder lately to look at the monitors. So I said, okay, especially because I have a few dollars, I went and got glasses or did the exam. Glasses supposed to be ready next week. But while I sat in the waiting room, there was a TV on. And I listened to some news program. They had Fox News on. And it was like five people and talking. One, the ads were horrible. You know, obviously, a lot of them were, get this drug, get that drug. Some of the drug never heard about. You know, and get this drug. And by the way, you can lose weight. And went, kind of like, what? And because I think there was like four or five ads. And it was kind of like two of them or three of them were for drugs. It's kind of like, wow. And I don't doubt both of them, you know, the company behind that was probably brought to you by Pfizer. Anyway, but there was the conversations. Yeah, there was conversation about a new budget or tax bill or whatever's been proposed by the Biden administration. and somebody's saying, oh, this is, they're doing so much, so good, wonderful stuff and whatnot. And somebody else says, well, no, it's bad because of this, that, and the other. And the arguments were pathetic on both sides. And what I found so fascinating, one was, oh, we got to protect Social Security. No, I'm sorry, it's theft. But no matter which side you're on, you can't say that. I can, and I have. It's theft. And then, they were talking about defense, and it's kind of like, the arguments were pathetic. Really pathetic. And if that's, but anyway, I don't deal at that stage. Yeah, I don't see TV. It's the first time I've saw something sitting in the waiting room. It's kind of like, wow, do people actually watch this? I mean, this is really, it's really stupid. But then there's the growing. What I see on the web is there's what usually is attributed to social media, and one person tells another person whatnot, and it's a sensationalism stuff. And that you can say, oh, see, you can't trust stuff in social media. A lot of it you can't, especially because everything's a little short, little snippet with no evidence. But that doesn't mean everything that's on the internet is fallacy. And one of the things I find is those who put out rational information are the most belittled or censored. A whole lot of people, their YouTube channels especially, are taken down. Obviously RT, Press TV, out of Russia and out of Iran, they simply took them down. Because we don't want to, we want to have somebody in control, Google, the Alphabet, which is tightly affiliated with the intelligence community. They are the moderators. They control what is true and false, according to it's a problem. So because it's Russian, RT was taken down. What, a year or two before that, Press TV out of Iran was taken down because obviously they're the wrong country. I can't allow an individual to look at the information. It's the same argument. It's one of the reasons why I want to put the Bible and the Quran in Shofar book. Because I don't want to go to somebody and say, look at the Bible, look at the particular translation, and don't trust anything else. I am the authority here. Not at all. Not at all. I want to put the evidence in front of you. Here's the Bible, here's the Quran, and other things. And I want to make sure that I'm not the moderator. I want to make sure you have in your hands the evidence. And I'm not doing this because I trust you. It's because I trust the Lord. If I can put in front of you the Bible and the Quran, and you can come with your bias saying they're both bad, or I subscribe to the Quran, or I have this fluffy view of the Bible, and I can give you the tools to not know a commentary, but to be able to dig into them. It's not that your brilliance will find out the truth. It's because the Lord will call you, and all I've done is, as an act of love to you, to that person, give you the tools that the Lord will use to draw you unto Him. I don't have to hide the Quran from you to get you to come to Christ. I do the best I can to set down the evidence before you, because the Lord draws you to Christ, not me. And I don't have to lie to you to get you there. It was fascinating. There's on Al Jazeera, they have a program. Anyways, one of these half-hour interview programs. And it's 9 times out of 10, it's such malarkey. And the other time, it's malarkey, because it comes with such a remarkable bias. But I watched one because I figured, okay, I got to see this. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Anyway, this guy who's well known, does all the science stuff and whatnot. He is the popular guy we push all the various scientific principles, and we are the authority here. And I listened to some of the arguments and the way he and the interviewer, it's such malarkey. You know, for example, the interviewer said, and he said it because, again, it wasn't the way, just the words he said. It was his tone of delivery. It was so demeaning. He said something like, 6% of people in the United States don't believe in anthropomorphic climate change. And basically the way he said that is 6% of those of the people in the U.S. are stupid. They have been fed a lie. They're dumb. No, I'm sorry. I'm one of those 6%. And it's not because I follow a lie. It's because I've looked at the evidence. It's a fallacy. Anthropomorphic climate change or anthropomorphic global warming is a fallacy. Because you get the authorities to tell you it's true. They hide the evidence. They literally hide the evidence, and they sensationalize what they have in order to say, look, see, it's all man. You know, the one thing I do think, let me remind you of, because I'm pretty sure I said this before. The idea, you know, the billions of years and all this malarkey. You know, the proposal is, you know, first you have the single cell animals and, you know, stuff in the oceans and whatnot. Then, the plants start to grow and then, you know, animals and whatnot. The problem is, if you have plants first and then millions of years later you have animals, what do you have? What would be the term? Plant-induced climate change. Because what will happen is, if you only have plants without animals, the plants are producing oxygen. The oxygen in the atmosphere will become overwhelming, and there'll be a lack of carbon dioxide that the plants need, and they will essentially suffocate and die out, because you don't have the animals to take that oxygen and turn it into carbon dioxide, because you have that balance. Until you have that balance, it doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. This is not rocket science. It's not that hard to reason that one through. If you can say within the last 100 years that man alone has caused a tremendous change in the CO2 levels of the atmosphere, and it's causing the Earth to burn up. How do you do millions of years with just plants? The term there is you have to unscrew your head and be stupid. or you have to join the club and say, oh, the authorities tell me this. And they have all these people with ties lab coats and whatnot. And they have these fancy posters and big signs and whatnot. And so they must be right because they have their credentials on the wall. They must be right, right? They can't back it up. They can't apply reason to this. But they are the authorities. No, I'm part of that 6%. It's bogus. It's bogus. And I want to tell my kids this. I am concerned what I saw. The Nazi symbolism, not the light duty stuff. You know, it was a well done Nazi, the swastika within a circle, 14 on one side, 88 on the other, in a big rectangle. Somebody who knew what they were doing. They knew this. They knew what the symbols that they needed to put there. And it's not Kiev. It's Cleveland, Tennessee. And I don't think it's somebody passing through. You know, it could be. And it's a problem. Because it fuels tension. I'm hoping that the bulk of Cleveland will be like that, those two young gentlemen I met, the one white guy, the one black guy. Say, you know, I mean, and they were good friends. And we parted with a handshake. Because I wanted to be their ally. But I hope that's true, that the tension isn't here. Because I know it's there in Chattanooga, in various places. As I have described in the past, the Nord Stream issue is Europe's version of 9/11 without the pyrotechnics. Because, you know, we saw the bubbles in the water. We didn't see the big explosion. But it's probably going to have the same amount of long-term devastation. The economic impact is huge. And a good point that I heard recently made, the Nord Stream pipeline is not a Russian pipeline. It is a pipeline owned by the Nord Stream Consortium Corporation, whatever it is, which is owned by Russia, Switzerland, Germany, various other parties. It's a consortium. It's not a Russian pipeline. Russia is the provider of the fuel. Germany is the primary consumer of the fuel. But the pipeline and the operation of it is this consortium. It's not Russia. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting point. But what Seymour Hersh did, he gave something with evidence. What's come out in Times in UK is malarkey in order to change the narrative. And that'll probably win the day. Because the narrative is important, not the truth. Will my kids understand this? Not necessarily about Nord Stream or Nazism or whatnot, but will they be able to understand somebody's trying to give me this narrative to lead me a particular path as opposed to tell me the truth? It's not the narrative will set you free. It's the truth will set you free. What is the truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the truth. I want my kids to embrace it. At least one. With all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. to love the Lord. Embrace the truth. Same thing. Anyway, another short video. I want to get to my kids. The reason I put out so much effort on this is because I love my kids. The reason I am more than willing to go to a gathering, which, to be honest, my guess is it's going to be fluff. But there may be the possibility to find a relationship with somebody that I can dig deep in the scripture with, to encourage or be encouraged by, rather than just be a, oh, isn't this fun? Aren't we? We're a Christian group gathering together and smiling. No, I want to be part of a Christian group who gather together and encourage one another. To encourage, parakaleo, to draw each other near. And it's not to our club, but drawing each other near to each other and to the Lord. Draw each other to the truth. How do you do that? Well, as discussed yesterday, examine the scripture and see if these things are so. You make this claim. I want to know, is what you say true? Great. Okay, we now see what's true. How do I apply that? How do I live in obedience to my Creator? How do I celebrate the joy of knowing Him and the joy of having Him opening my eyes to what I can do to live in obedience to Him, to encourage others, to be encouraged by others? How do I celebrate my Creator? How do I find my joy in my Creator? Not my certificates or my wallet or my fancy whatever. How do I enjoy my Creator? And how do I love my neighbor as myself? I want to encourage others and be encouraged by others on that. And I do that with my family. At least some of them. At least one of them. My lady, my wife, you'd be the first person I'd want to do that with, beyond question, without any hesitation in my mind. You're the one I love. You're the one I want to reconcile with. image I did for, this was the 6th. We need to reconcile to set the model of Christ before our kids. My image, I have the one woman, the one man, and this it's a chalice, which, you know, it's upside down 7x7, which is the, you know, the seven times seven or 70 times seven, because the zero is there in the chalice. So that is what it means. 70 times seven. That's what that image means, according to the person who drew it, you know, because I read his description of this. And I've used that now for a symbol of reconciliation. And of course, the reason I use those two symbols is because those are the symbols. If you go to any website host that's run by Shofar Nexus, and you can do whatever the site is, you know, kozlowski.org, shofarnexus.com, whatever. /_icon, user, Alice. And you'll get the female image. Or Bob, and you get the male image. Because again, Alice and Bob are the typical names used. And it's embedded in to Shofar Nexus. And it's just simply, I needed an icon, and these are the good icons. But again, the reason the Alice icon was chosen, beyond question, the black hair and the red short, that looks like my wife. I mean, That's not hard to see. That looks like my wife. That's why I chose that icon. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's why I chose that icon. And so on this particular day, you know, I have the three always at the bottom there now. But I made those very large because we need to reconcile to set the model of Christ before our kids. 1 Corinthians 7:11, a wife should reconcile with her husband. It's a command of our Creator to my wife. And my wife right now has said to God, no, I will not obey you. That scares me because I love that lady. I love that lady. My lady, my wife. Another short video. I love you and I want you back.